CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Tuesday, here we are. All right. It's a year. All right, so we've got Bulelo, we've got Lebang, we've got me, we've got you. It's a full house this morning. All right, tell your friends, tell your enemies. Tell the people you respect, tell the people you want to disrespect. Pretty much open season. We don't mind. As the wise Don King once said, whomsoever wants to come, let him come. That's pretty much our only marketing plan for the show. Whomsoever wants to come, let him come. All right. Much to get through today, much to talk about, much to get involved in. We'll get to some headlines later on. Being a Tuesday, we've also got This Is Us this morning with a very prominent guest, which I'm looking forward to introducing to you. We've had him on before on the Burning Platform, but he's somebody who really has an interesting insight and has remained one of those people you can look to for a sensible answer on some of the more crazy stuff that we obviously have to see and deal with as South Africans. And I said to you at the beginning of the year, I'm feeling very optimistic about things, just generally, you know?
Yeah.
So what's happening? Yeah, you also feeling optimistic? You feeling good about things?
Definitely. Like, I feel as though this is the year where I am going to make at least 5 million, you know, for starters. There's that. And then just... Yeah. Like, and then just generally, like, the vibe is like, I feel like more and more people are starting to realize that they're in control of their own futures, and like, right. They can't just sit and wait for other people to get it done. And I'm not making this up, like, real talk. This is how I feel. So I hope it actually happens. I'm quite keen, you know, to see some good follow-ups, like, oh, it's June. You know, I said I'm going to get a job. I got it. Or, right. You know, I said I'm going to do this. I did it. You know, that kind of vibe. So I hope it stays like that for a while.
Well, I mean, nothing wrong with that. If you make 5 million, that's good news for all of us. I mean, if just think about it this way, because people get so jealous, you know, like, this is why some people are miserable and will be miserable their whole life long. Think about it this way. If Lebang is making 5 million, the chances are that the economy is good, and therefore that other people may be making lots of money as well. But if Lebang has a terrible year, it's a very good, a huge possibility that everyone is having a terrible year. You know, a good tide raises all boats. Isn't that what they usually say?
Exactly.
So let's hope for that. And really, you know, we've got a lot to work for in this country. We've got a lot of problems to solve, and every problem that needs solving represents an opportunity that could make you money. That's the way I see it. If we lived in a place where everything worked, it was all perfect, we would have no problems to solve, and we would rely entirely on the politicians. And then we wouldn't, I mean, that's not the kind of place I want to live in. I don't know about you, but that's not for me. Uh-oh. So, Bulelo is wearing a very colorful shirt this morning, he's going to lead us in prayer to start the show this morning, because we know how religious he is. So go ahead, Bulelo, it's all yours.
Dear Jesus, let us all realize that people are still going to be obese, but we need to give them the room, quite literally, to be themselves. Yes. Dear Jesus,
yes.
Let's hope that organic mangoes never run out again, because annoyingly I went to Woolworths yesterday.
Oh, no.
And they didn't have those sealed packets again. They only had normal mangoes.
Wow.
So, as I say that, dear Jesus, lead us not to temptation, but to a world where we eat less.
And there's an abundance of organic mangoes.
That was.
Hallelujah.
Jesus only needs to hear it once.
Right.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Amen. I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's what a great prayer. That may be the best prayer I've heard in a long time. You know?
Hallelujah.
And again, very unselfish of you, Bulelo, worrying about the obese people. It's nice of you. And also, you know, who is so gracious that they immediately think of organic mangoes for all? If the ANC if the ANC ran on that, they'd have all the support. Stupid ANC. Anyway, lots of questions coming in thick and fast this morning. For starters, Robin wants to know, how's Carl? Carl is alive. He is well. He's on medication, like any old creature on earth. He's on chronic medication, which, you know, will happen to all of us at some point. We'll all eventually go on chronic medication. So he's got like a bunch of tablets in the morning and then a bunch of them at night. And it's a pain in the ass, but what are you going to do? You know, got to keep the little guy's heart going. And he's fine. He seems healthy and happy. We took him for his inoculations yesterday at the vet. You know, there's this annual thing you do with the dogs. And it was hilarious because I took my dog, Carl, and I took my parents' two dogs, and I took my sister's dog all at the same time. So it looked like a menagerie. It's kind of embarrassing. You know, like, you know those people who pitch up, you know, they pitch up in like one tiny car and then 13 people get out. It felt like that. That's what it must have looked like too. Anyway, so that's all done. And then another question here. When are you going to tell us about Millie? Well, that's Annette, whose profile picture is a little spaniel as well. So Millie's the puppy that I gave to my parents in December, and she's very, very happy, and she's very, very healthy, and she's full of love and full of life, and she's the cutest little thing ever. So I don't know what else you want me to say at this point, but we will see. Anyway, Sean is giving Bulelo credit for thinking out of the box, which is I just hate that line. I hate when people say things like, you know, let's sort this problem out at grassroots level. You're thinking out of the box. Blue sky thinking. People have pulled these quotes out of shitty corporate talks that they've been to, or from TED Talks 10 years ago. And it just makes me so – I feel hollow inside when people use language like that. You know, they talk in that corporate speak, and you hear so much of it in South Africa. And people aren't even ashamed to be using it because it's all so, so terribly cliched now. And when you hear it, you just want to because it's so bad. And the other thing is, of course, the president was on last night, and he was talking about the NEC meeting the ANC had, and he uses a different kind of like corporate speak. It's more political, obviously. And he talks about, he must have used the words social compact, I don't know, 20 times during the 5 minutes that I heard him. Well, we've got this social compact. And I'm like, there's no social compact, dude. Did you not see those riots in July? Did you not see that? Do you not pay attention to how you guys have ruined the economy and made more people poor? You don't see that? A social compact would mean, first of all, that the politicians actually gave a damn about the people. There's none of that. So don't you talk to us about a social compact, how you're going to rebuild the economy. Everything you have touched has turned to shit. And you're going to tell us like there's a social compact? You know how the people of this country feel about you. I'll tell you how you can check. Just count how many went to the polls last year, and then count how many of those voted for you. It's not even a majority. It's not even a majority of people in South Africa. So,
Mbulelo, as a social commentator, surely you can unpack and let us really know why these leaders, in inverted commas, choose to run to these big fancy terms in order to try and, you know, distract us. Please, please, the floor is yours.
Famed collapser of the Middle East, Henry Kissinger, famously used a term. They engage in something called constructive ambiguity, and that is to say that whilst they loot and steal, they make us look over there, and a magician might, say, look over here while I do that. A little constructive ambiguity never hurt. You say things that aren't all the way there, and the society doesn't quite know. And then, of course, you put sport on their screens, and then what happens is they're distracted, and it is the opium of the people. And then you give them social media, and then you give them alcohol, and then you give them Instagram. These are the opioids of today. And then we say things like the social compact, which the ancient Greeks knew very well, that the bedrock of society is not the leaders, it is the people. So
Bulelo, he used another term at least 10 times during his boring little diatribe on the news last night. His other term is one that you love, stakeholders.
Oh,
constituents.
Yeah, he says
we must engage with the constituents, and following that,
exactly.
Stakeholders. It is important to engage.
He said something along the lines. I mean, this could have been pulled out of like a 1978 Comintern, you know, Brezhnev Gorbachev, Stalin, Khrushchev fucking collapsed. Like a whole lot of it, just twee and very obviously made up terms from the Communist Manifesto, in fact. He goes, we've got to take control of the economy and make it more equitable, and in doing so, establish a new social compact where everyone participates as equal shareholders. Sorry, stakeholders, not shareholders.
Stakeholders.
And he says, this should not just focus on big business and government, but also on the small enterprises and communities. You know, the word communities has been so bastardized. Like you hear people talk about the body positive community. Now, I've never walked into a meeting and gone, oh shit, I think I've stumbled on the body positive community. Even the word, like even the term black community, because we all know that there are different black communities. Some of them are big, some of them are small, but there's no like overall black community where all the black people are invited and then they all get to decide, or all the white people get to decide, or, you know, there's this like this bullshit idea that we form these large scale collectives that can be understood and easily manipulated by a bunch of politicians. I just hate when they talk like that. It's the same as that corporate speak stuff. It just grates me in the worst way. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest this morning because he was on the news last night. And, you know, these days we don't really take him as seriously as we did during the lockdown, because we listened to him during the lockdown because we needed to know what we could and couldn't get away with and how much of it we needed to take seriously. Anyway,
we needed a plan we just didn't get one. Talks like we don't care. It's like, okay, you guys have been spewing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not news that the communities need to get involved so that the economy can become. We know. Now what? Yeah. This is not like anything that we haven't heard before. And that's where it gets problematic. It's like you guys are reshuffling these speeches and just saying them in different years to apply to that current state.
And my worst is who is designing all these ANC t-shirts, jackets, shirts? Who's designing these things? Did you see that one?
Got that tender.
Did you see the one that Fikile Mbalula was wearing somewhere around that ANC anniversary in the beginning of January? Mm. He was wearing one where they'd basically stolen the Mercedes AMG branding, right? And instead of AMG, they'd had ANC. I mean, this is how creatively bankrupt that organization is. They actually stole someone else's corporate branding. You must know how hollow and emptied out your organization is of any thought, creativity, innovation, when you actually steal like Mercedes-Benz's, not just a particular sub-brand of theirs, and you think you can just make that yours. I just couldn't believe this when I saw it. I was like, what? Yeah. You got to be joking. In fact, here's a picture of it. And they apparently had to apologize and like destroy all the merchandise because guess what? It belongs to – this is typical of an organization that just steals. They even steal corporate branding. You see this AMG, but it says – ANC on the sleeves.
They didn't even try.
Wow, that's unreal.
It's so bad.
That is copy-paste.
But you can imagine, like, Fikile thought he'd come up with a great idea there. If it was him, whoever it was, they're like, oh, I've got such a good idea here, comrades. Mm. You know?
No, they were very desperate, guys. Like, at some point, they were putting so much effort and energy and PR and talk into, like, how the shirts look and the, like, inverted commas, the rebrand of ANC. I think they were just trying to connect with the youth a bit more, but we kind of saw right through that. Again, we're like, guys, no, it's not going to work. You can't get at us through your clothes. No.
Imagine, just taking someone else's idea and just pretending it's perfectly okay that you've stolen it. And, like, these people have no idea of how property works or how ideas work or an economy works. This is why we're in the situation we're in, because all they can do is steal. Yeah. All they can do is steal. You know, it's just – and also this obsession with brand. Like I said, those shirts. Do you remember those leather jackets that they were all wearing? like two, 3 years ago, maybe even a bit longer. They were wearing those hideous like patch, but the patches were green and black and yellow, you know? And you're like, ugh. I think Gedlekekis still pulls his out every now and then. Maybe it's the only jacket he's got left. I don't know. But it's so bad.
Yeah, when Gwede Mantashe had it with his, obviously, Chivas burnt lips, you know what I mean? I'm like, no.
Wow, Malum. Not Chivas catching this L. Come on.
No, man, not like that. You've let it go. You're not 27 anymore. Let it go. Leather jackets. Remember, and then they had the motorbike brigade with the ANC color BMWs. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. Oh my God. Like Fong Kong, that's pretty much what they are. They're Fong Kong. They're Fong Kong liberation now. They're Fong Kong politicians now. They're amateur at everything they do. It's amateur hour. It's like watching the kids take over the creche. That's what it is. Anyway,
chaos.
Good luck. Good luck, you sons of bitches, and keep stealing other people's ideas. I hope they sue you into the ground. You have no money anyway. Let's give you even less. So, DK says, I think I need to escalate this to corporate affairs at AMG. Yeah, I think so too. I think so. Just take it to them. Mercedes won't sue them. They get 50% of their African sales from the ANC. I don't think so anymore. Hey. I don't think so anymore. Oh.
Not since Tony Engin.
Yeah. No, that was the last. That was when relations were still good. Side note, when I want to amuse myself, I imagine Gareth or Mbulelo or whoever driving down the street in a beat-up green Uno. I wouldn't, you know, if because I don't own a car at the moment. If I did own a car, I'd own a cheap car. And I wouldn't care if you saw me in a cheap car. I really, that's not
it's
the...
It's like, you're too big for an Uno, Gareth.
Maybe I don't like think... come on, Lebang. I don't even think you can find an Uno anymore. If you're looking for an Uno, I don't think you can
really?
Find
it. Facebook Market has everything.
Really?
Everything. Yeah, dude.
Look it up now. See if you can find me an Uno and see how much it'll cost.
I hope it's green. I swear to God, if it can be green.
That's so good.
Uno car.
Yeah, remember Uno's? Yeah,
friends. Here we go. There's one for 9,500 rands.
Wow,
bonus.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's great.
You won't be able to see that well, but yeah, there's one for 9.5. I mean, that can
9
be
9. Something.
That's great. 9.5. Does it work? Does it work?
Hey, look, that part they won't tell you. You have to call to find out.
It's a separate conversation.
A green one. Oh, that's a white one.
Yeah.
Okay, so
told you.
Gail says she has a 2006 Santa Fe. What is that? That she bought for cheap from a deceased friend of my wife's dad. I don't care. It's paid for. No sleepless nights. What's a Santa Fe?
Santa Fe. Sounds like a perfume.
Does, eh?
Nah. I don't know what that is. I'm not a car guy.
Nah.
I wish I knew more about cars.
I used to be, hey, I can say now, okay, I could drive any old car and it wouldn't bother me and it's not the most important thing because I got it out of my system in my late 20s. I mean, I drove like sports cars and SUVs and all kinds of things that cost me a lot of money. And you need to have that, you need to go through that. Don't believe anybody who says to you, I'm not materialistic at all. I've never been, you know, into material things when they've never actually had the chance to buy material things.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
always
exactly.
Believe the people who have had it and then decided, no, I don't need this anymore. Not lost all their money and had to stop doing it. Like someone who's just gone, that phase is over. I'm done with that. You know? But speaking of cars, yesterday we heard about Arnold Schwarzenegger and how he had that accident with his enormous, monstrous car and like three other cars. And he got out of the car and went, I'm sorry, I drove into your car. I will try to drive better tomorrow. Here, give me your insurance details. Or something like that. We don't know what he actually said. But he's 76, I think, was the age we figured out he was yesterday, which is not that old. But there comes a time, you know, where you've got to stop driving. I heard about a dude. I spoke to my aunt on Friday. I saw her in Cape Town. She was telling me about the woman across the street who had a brother who was still driving around at 90.
No.
Yeah.
So stop.
I know you feel very strongly about this, Lebang. You reckon there should be an age limit. And this is controversial because if you take away an old person's independence, sometimes that's where they really start to go downhill, right? So if they can't go to the shops or can't visit their friends or they can't go to their whatever it is, bridge club or Stockfell or whatever it is that they're going to, right? They have to be able to get around. And for many old people, it's much more traumatic and difficult to catch a taxi or to get on a bus than it is to just get in their own car. But the problem is at 90... Not a lot of, there are a few, I'll always give you, you know, the benefit of the doubt if you're 90 years old and say, well, maybe you're one of those handful of people who are still totally good at 90. There are a few.
Yeah.
And they are the exception, not the rule. But do you think we should cut off at a certain age? We should say, sorry, driver's license expires at this age and you can never get a new one.
Yeah, look, I think obviously there are older people who only, you know, really get rejuvenated at that time of their life. And for the most part, maybe having that independence and driving themselves around is what keeps them going. You know, they get to do their own thing and, you know, you don't want to strip them of that. But
right.
I think we just need to be cognizant of the fact that they're not all like that. There are a lot of older people who just can't drive anymore and they don't want to admit it. They don't want to admit the fact that they are actually struggling, but they're stubborn, so they'll want to keep driving. I think we should probably introduce some sort of like, at a certain age, you have to take the test again, you know, just to see if you still got it, like if you can still manage. But if that doesn't work, just cut off age, you know, at a certain point, just let it go. We'll get you a driver something.
What's the cut off age?
80. I think 80 is cool.
80. Some people would get upset about that.
Yeah, it's old, but I'm meeting them halfway here because, again, some of them are still, they fit. They you know, they're involved. You don't want to have like a group of old people rioting.
Okay, because let me ask you this then. So are you making it a blanket, like 80 years old? Sorry, if you're 80, you can't drive, or are there like special exceptions that you will, if they prove that they've got good eyesight, they, you know, they can react quickly. Or is it, sorry, it's done.
How many years have you been driving, number one? If you're 80, aren't you just tired of driving? Yo, like, driving isn't like a nice thing. We don't all stand up and go, oh, I'm going to drive today. It's tiring. So you know what? We'll get you a driver. You're 80. You don't need to do this anymore, I think. Because you know when you're driving somewhere and like the person in front of you is just driving ridiculously, whether it's at a slow pace,
very slow,
whether they're switching late, you can just see that something is wrong.
I saw
when you overtake them, it's like a 19-year-old granny.
I saw an old couple. They must have both been. I mean, they were so ancient. Like if you went, they would turn to dust and like just dissipate. So this old couple were driving to the shops in front of me the other day, and I could tell it was an old couple because they were going so slowly. And then as I, you know, the road opened up a bit and I overtook them, I drove past and the old man was like sitting right on the steering wheel. The old lady was probably falling asleep next to him. Who knows? But I sort of thought to myself, you know, I kind of like that there are old couples that are still driving around at that age, that they're still together and going to do things rather than just sitting moldering away in some old age home or, you know, in a back room at their kid's house or whatever. But I do get it. Like, I do think like very old people are a huge hazard on the road, and that slow thing can be a massive problem. But they also drive the oldest cars, right? Because old people don't care to. And this is why you should be rich. Mm-hmm. Because if you're very old, you should maybe have a driver, or you should be able to Uber everywhere you need to go. Because they don't really need to go a lot of places. You know, they're not like busy social calendars and having to go to work and all that stuff. And people should really be going to you when you're that old. They should come to you. You know, Muhammad should come to the mountain. But if they do, they drive these kinds of cars, like this one, old Toyota
Cressida.
Cressida.
Hey, listen, that's the baby daddy car, by the way. But if you ever, if your uncle or your old man, right, there's something called long base. I don't know if you remember the long base. Any car, any man who has to change the gear on the side like this, you know what I'm saying? Any dude from taxi driver to your uncle who wears the fedora vibe. If he has to change the gears like this, my man's got kids with three baby mamas. Shout out to black people. You know who I'm talking about.
I love it, yeah.
There's a light green Cressida that everyone knows.
Light green.
If your uncle drove that Cressida. they know him in the.
So you can buy those. And by the way, someone sent me a picture of exactly the car I'm looking for me and Fumbula. That one.
Is that there the Uno? Is.
That's the Uno. Yeah. That's that thing.
9,000 Rand.
I'll tell you what, though. There are probably a few of them that are still going like a bomb, you know? They can really go.
Yeah.
Like my friend had one at university, and I always said it was the fastest Uno you'd ever seen in your life. He used to hurtle down the N1 highway. And I would fear for my life. I would be like, yes, that's we're going to die. Because he was going and the speedometer was going. And this little car, which is basically made of tinfoil.
You know,
this thing was going so fast. And I remember we took it down to the Eastern Cape on a holiday once. And I remember us driving through the Free State where the road was not so great. You know where the edge of the road is starting to fall off a little bit? I thought, oh my God, if we hit this edge at the speed we're going at, it's tickets. People will just go, oh, what a terrible accident. And that'll be the way I die on the side of the road in the Free State in Uno. That would be my.
Gareth,
speaking of the age thing, it's like, I really, really want to, I hope I age well, because there's a dude up the road from me at the shopping center that I usually go to, is that every Sunday, right? If I'm out for breakfast, I see him. Rolls Royce, but the big boy one, not the little rapper one that these rappers have. It's the one with the umbrella in the door and the step with like those super fat wheels. I don't know cars.
Yes. But
anyway, it's just Rolls Royce.
Yes.
Yeah. It's mental. And the doors open like you're opening a cupboard. It's not just a regular door a car I could afford. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So every weekend steps out his wife and he's got the classic silver fox hairs, probably in his 70s somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Pops the door open for his wife and he steps out right in front of like classic restaurants with the biggest yuppies. And he just, it's boss levels right from there. Well, just incredible, that guy.
So he's flexing on you basically.
Yeah.
And he wants, he wants to let me in his car. I was like, oh my gosh, do you mind? And he even put the step down for me. I was like, oh my God, you have to be this rich when you're old. Yeah, this is the only way
you
do it.
Yeah. You've been around long enough.
But I was thinking South Africa is not a great place. Particularly Johannesburg, to be old.
No.
You know, when I think back, when I used to visit my mom, she lived in Geneva. I was like, I have been thinking about it. I was like, that's how I'd want to do it. Because I'm old. Yeah. I just want to step on a train that works.
Yes.
There's the shop. Great. The air's clean. It's awesome.
Certain places are really good for old people. I mean, especially coastal cities tend to be better for them because, they get the arthritis and all that stuff. So in a sea level and a more humid area, they tend to to do a bit better. But also, things have to be on one level. You don't want too many steps or too many escalators or lifts. The minute old people have to go up, it's this that kills them. It's not that. They can handle that as long as it's level. Anyway.
So this stuff has to work when you're old, you know?
Gutle says, my gran was 80 with a bad knee. But she still walked to church every Sunday and could give a hell of a beating. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Nothing will keep black people from church.
That muscle memory.
The beating with a stick.
Yeah, the muscle memory of the beating ain't going nowhere. That one will continue until the grave.
Yeah, that's awesome. Dr. Robin says, my big brother had an Uno. His nickname became the sumo in the Uno. It was so awful. I love it. Molly Curry says, hey, leave my Mazda 323 alone. Everyone thinks I'm a taxi, and they've tried hijacking me as well. Those Mazda 323s, hey? Woo.
Yeah.
Bangers.
But also, like, in the rural areas, like, the local taxis that, you know, you move around from 1 kilometer to between 5 kilometers are really the Mazda 323s, the Toyota Corollas, the smaller... those are the vehicles.
And you mustn't forget, in those rural areas, we're not talking about roads that actually are roads. We're just talking about like a track. And those 323s can handle like a 4x4 on that terrain. It's amazing.
Japanese. The Japanese.
Oh, man. when we were away for New Year, we were driving, one of my friends has a couple of like 4x4s, and we were driving them up in the mountains and on these rocks and up these like serious inclines and declines and through mud and all kinds of things. And I thought, in South Africa, you don't have to go into the bush to find terrain like that. You could just drive through like, you know, some of the rural homesteads and places where people live in more far-flung parts of this country, and they're putting up with terrain like that every day, and they're not doing it with, you know, the special gears and the diff locks and all of that stuff. They're doing it in those 323s.
Yeah, in the little tiny Toyotas.
Yeah. Michael says, my friend used to own a rusty red Rolls Royce with a bumper sticker that said, fuck the poor. It wouldn't be funny in any other car.
Damn.
So great.
Okay, oh, Michael's my God. Friend.
That's so great. That is so great. And Rivka says, Cressidas were excellent cars. We had a 1988 model, and the mechanic who serviced the car said that model was the best model Toyota made. Back then, taxis in Hong Kong were Toyota Cressidas. Okay, wow.
Yeah, no, Cressida's iconic. It really is iconic. If you go to some of the Cassis now, like Davidson, Soshanguve, Atchegville, like till this day, you'll always see like a shiny Cressida in somebody's neighborhood, sparkly, good as new. They just don't drive it because now it's like,
but
you know,
that's what Mbulelo's saying about the baby daddy.
Especially if it's the green one. Everyone knows the Cressida green.
Oh, my God.
Listen, that guy.
I just want to find a picture of a car. When I see a certain car, I think of... let me just show you this. Because this, when I think of these, I think of like those old politicians we used to have during the old regime. Because they love these cars. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I do. The E-Class Mercedes.
That's the one, but the old one.
E-Class Mercedes. It's well known.
This is the one. This is what those
old... Piavia bought this car.
Yeah. Piavia. Those guys. They used to drive.
Exactly.
This one.
Yeah. Nazo.
Yes.
The old E-Class. Those things. You just knew you were dealing with an old racist.
If one of those screams that.
Yeah. If one of those pulled up, you just knew old racist's going to get out. That's what's going to happen. It's amazing. All right. We got a lot of other stuff to get to this morning. We're already at 6:30. Yes, it's 6:30. We've got to move. Okay. We got some headlines. Let's do some of those quickly. Let me tell you what's going on in the world. So Thierry Mugler, the famous French fashion designer, died at age 73. Do you know anything about him? Do you guys know anything about this dude?
I don't know about him. I just know about his work. It was some really iconic, dare I say, out-the-box kind of work. It was just beautiful.
Right.
Beautiful.
Well, let me tell you. His work may have been beautiful, but he certainly wasn't, and I'll show you a picture of what I mean. But he, among other things, designed Beyoncé's costumes for when she was in Destiny's Child and even later on when she had her own solo career. But he had quite a lot of plastic surgery. So if you take a look at what Thierry looked like when he was younger and then you compare it to how he looked when he was older, this is a warning. A shot across the bows for anybody who feels like they need plastic surgery is just be very careful, because clearly this guy didn't have, you know, a lack of money. So I'll show you what he looked like when he was a young man. And since we were comparing Unos and old Merc E-classes, this is how he looked when he was younger. Not a bad looking dude. There he is with Diana Ross. You know, she was one of the people who left a tribute to him on social media, on the internet yesterday when he died. But famous as, you know, as LeBanc says, a famous fashion designer type. But then this is how he looked a bit later on. So just pay attention to the nose here. It's very important. Look at the bridge of his nose between his eyes. And now look at this picture. Slightly revolting by comparison.
And, ridiculous.
Yeah. And I've got another picture, which is probably even more horrible because he's between two normal looking, in fact, quite beautiful looking people. And you can see the difference. So, you know, there's one very attractive woman who's dressed like Nefertiti, but then he's in the middle with his nose that looks like a blob of clay that's just been thrown onto the front of his face. And I know we shouldn't be speaking ill of the dead, you know, but one day after they've died. But really, this is a big warning to anyone who is into plastic surgery. Don't overdo it, because we want to remember you as a human, not as a Ken doll, especially in the world of fashion, you know?
Yeah.
Please, let's...
I wonder what happened to him, because he looked fine when he was young, right? Like, was it not related to, like, an illness or something?
No, I don't think so. He, when people are too obsessed with the way they look and they're unhappy about their way...
Money.
It'll give you reasons to keep going back to that plastic surgeon, which you shouldn't do. Mm. Anyway, he was known for designs with broad shoulders, sharp tailoring, inspired by 1940s and 50s glamour. His designs were worn by people like David Bowie, Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Kim Kardashian's famous wet dress that she wore at the Met Gala. His brand became famous for perfumes in his later years, such as Angel and Alien. And apparently his official Facebook account was the first to announce it, that he died on the 23rd of January. And a tribute posted on his Instagram page described him as a visionary whose imagination empowered people around the world to be bolder and dream bigger every day. I don't know when people talk like that. You know,
not everyone's a visionary. Let's stop saying that.
Yeah, but maybe he was. But this idea, this idea that ordinary people all over the world are waiting for someone to empower them to be bolder and to dream bigger. And let me tell you, if you can't dream bigger and be bolder without someone inspiring you, you're never going to dream bigger and be bolder. You're just a follower.
That is sadly true.
So
it's something inside of you. Yeah, like if somebody does it before you, it can spark it inside of you that you can do it too. But that thing should already be inside of you.
Please, let's just stop saying these things. They don't mean anything. Anyway, lots of people from the fashion world have paid tribute to him. People who you and I wouldn't necessarily know, like, you know, who's this dude? There's a guy called Brian Atwood, who's a famous fashion designer. You might know who this is, but I promise you I don't. Actress and model Irina Shayk, who posted pictures with her. Brigitte Nielsen, obviously an old actress that. Bella Hadid, Winnie Harlow, Heidi Klum, okay, slightly more well-known. Singer Rita Ora paid tribute by wearing a pair of his distinctive jeans. Sex and the City star Kristen Davis said it had been another horrible loss of the visionary Terry Mugler. Okay, so lots of people very upset in the fashion world about him. But
yeah, something's definitely happening in the fashion world. I think like in this year already, like there's been quite a few losses of some really iconic stylists.
I don't want to speak ill.
People get old.
I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but you know, I never know when it's too soon. So that's why maybe you come to this show so that you can find those too soon jokes. But the one thing that will live on is that fucking nose of his. Trust me, that's not going anywhere. So there it is. Look at that. Terry Mugler. Anyway, good for him.
Shame.
I mean, listen, he made an impact. He in the fashion world, people knew his name. People had his perfumes and his fragrances. And clearly he was someone who, you know, left a huge mark on the fashion industry. So good for him. We can all only hope to make some impact. And Meatloaf, we didn't even talk about Meatloaf the other day. And I would do anything for love. You know, Meatloaf. There's another. He was an oil painting, wasn't he?
Yes, something else. Really? This is my dad's favorite.
Yeah, great. Your dad loved Meatloaf? You're joking, really?
No, it was weird. Yeah, really? Like they got him. Yeah. Anyway, there was a whole thing about Meatloaf and my old man. They organized it when he left his company in Finland for Meatloaf to be in the mix. Yeah, big time fan. Huge fan.
I want to tell you a quick story because this is hilarious. Apparently, Meatloaf had an altercation with Prince Andrew. He had just recently married Sarah Ferguson, and she was apparently giving Meatloaf a bit of extra attention. And Fergie wasn't exactly flirting with me, but she was paying attention to me, and I think Andrew got a little jealous, Meatloaf told a journalist. At this point, you know, many people may be thinking, okay, made it up. But apparently, Prince Andrew proceeded to attempt to push Meatloaf into a moat that was around this little event space where they were. But Meatloaf, who was a big guy, was not so easily toppled over and instead whipped around, grabbed Prince Andrew and asked him what the big idea was. Meatloaf continued, "So I turned around and grabbed him and he goes, 'You can't touch me, I'm royal.' And Meatloaf replied, 'Well, you try to push me in the moat. I don't give a fuck who you are. You're going in the moat.'" Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool?
Awesome.
Like he told off this little twat, this royal nobody who turns out now to be a bit of a pervert as well. So I like that story. Meatloaf wasn't swayed by how royal Prince Andrew was. I like that. Anyway, he was also famous for the Bat Out of Hell album and all those songs that, again, between him and Thierry Mugler, you've got, you know, two men who were not the best looking people, just to say. If there's going to be a week to die in, don't die this week because it's going to be you and the ugly people. All right? So,
was Meatloaf a visionary?
Let them rest. Wait,
did anybody say visionary for Meatloaf?
Because
people say it all the time now. Like, no, Bill Gates is a visionary. Nobody else has replicated Microsoft.
And I think he's probably genuinely evil, Bill Gates.
We can all say that. I think the Queen and the royal family are evil. Like, whatever. We can all have an opinion.
Okay.
He's a visionary. Thierry Mugler, somebody else is going to make dresses for Lady Gaga. It'll be fine. He's not a visionary. Relax.
All right. Okay.
He's not Yves Saint Laurent. He's not Yves Saint Laurent. Like, that was a visionary. Calvin Klein, visionary.
You know why they called him a visionary? The stuff that he put together, it was almost like it was just ahead of its time. Like, by the term visionary, you were just ahead of your time. That stuff can still be worn today, and it could still be dope.
I don't know. These days,
it's
people...
It's not that dilute, that's my memory, man.
People talk about their uncle, and they say, oh, he's such a legend. We use these words, like, we throw them around. Your uncle's not a legend. Your friend who can drink three beers in a row is not a legend. Don't use that word. If you're going to use that word,
it's a legendary.
If you use that word to describe somebody who's very average, then when you do come to use the word for someone who is actually legendary, I don't believe you. You've used up the word.
The bar is low.
Like, people use the word epic and phenomenal and awesome, and he's so amazing. And she's such a visionary. Like, you use those words at your peril, because when you start using them to describe truly superlative people, I don't believe you anymore. You said your friend Kathy is a legend and she's epic. And all Kathy's done is sit on her ass all day. You really want me to take you seriously when you call someone else a visionary or legend? Anyway, here's a picture of Meatloaf for those who don't remember him. There he is.
My word.
Meatloaf covered in bacon. Sorry, that's the wrong picture. Here's Meatloaf. That was him. Great looking guy. So between Meatloaf, who looks like that, and Thierry Mugler, who looks like that, it's ugly week in heaven. So just get ready, everybody. The angels are... this week is the week to let your ugly people go. They're all being welcomed. This is the window that God gives to the ugly to go to heaven. Usually ugly people don't go to heaven, but this week they're making an exception. So Thierry Mugler and Meatloaf, well done to both of you. And I would do anything for love. Oh, wow. I still want to know what that is, you know, because he says, but I won't do that. And he never really told us what that was. And obviously, I've got a sick mind, so I'm thinking, must be some really dirty sexual act. What is the dirtiest sexual act that Meatloaf would not do? If he'd do anything for love, but he won't do that one thing, you got to ask yourself, what is that?
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Someone's going to lie about it.
Please ask.
Someone's going to lie. Give it what? You got to be respectful.
Right, Lebang, you froze up. Sorry, we missed you. What did you say there?
I did. I was saying, Mbulelo must please ask his dad for us. I mean, if he was such a huge fan, if there's one person who might know.
Yeah, he might know what that is. Yeah. But I won't do that.
Anyway. Cracker. It's a brilliant song.
Michael says it was anal sex. He did say. Oh, okay. See, so I was
don't
right.
Don't ask your dad anymore.
Okay. He says he mentioned it 13 times in the song, so we should know what that is.
Gotcha.
Elon, as God says, it's pegging. People are sick. Maybe he wrote the song for Prince Andrew. Uncle Potse says maybe his girlfriend wanted to poo on him, maybe. My God, you people are revolting.
Damn.
Thank God you didn't write.
So early in the morning, eh?
Yeah. Thank goodness you guys didn't write the lyrics to Meatloaf songs. He wouldn't have been as successful. And, he, you know, if you'd written the actual lyrics to all of his songs, he might have actually looked like that. Oh, no. Anyway, all right, I've had enough fun with this. Shame. We should be respectful, right? I mean, they only just died this week. Give it a chance.
Dude, their bodies are still fresh. Hey, let's just give it a chance.
All right. Let's take a look. There's some boring stories about people in politics. A guy called Arnoux Marais, who's been appointed acting community safety MEC after Fritz's suspension in the Western Cape. Sounds boring as hell. Hawks arrest ABSA engineer for alleged theft of 103 million.
Oh. Wow.
Okay, that's quite something. Damn. You can steal 103 million. Anyway, they arrested a guy called Xolela Masebeng, a specialist engineer who worked in Sandton, for allegedly stealing 103 million from the bank. He allegedly transferred the money into six different bank accounts over 4 months between September and December 2021. He was arrested in Queenstown in the Eastern Cape last week.
Ah,
yes,
poor someone. Yeah, flex them.
Anyway, they are not ruling out more arrests in this matter or bringing additional charges against him. So we'll see. But there we go. That's interesting. And if you worked at ABSA, we all have to recan, fecan, do all these things. But it seems like there's just no paper trail when it comes to this stuff. I mean, there must have been, otherwise they wouldn't have arrested him. But it takes them a long time to figure out what's going on. And as we discussed with someone who we had on the show just last week, fraud is a very real thing. You've got to be awake. You've got to be paying attention. $4 billion of the police budget is left unspent as the number of officers declines. This is a major problem in our police force. And if you don't think that this is because the leadership is poor, then I don't know what to tell you. But our police force is depleted and it's struggling to get to grips with one of the worst crime scourges and spend its full budget allocation, even as it complains it has inadequate funding. The country has only 182,000 police officers, 18,000 less than it did in 2010. So we've lost 18,000 police officers, because who wants to be in the police, right?
100%.
And according to Becky Kele, the size of the population has jumped by a fifth, but no extra police. So this is something we need to figure out, right? We haven't trained people for the last 2 years because of COVID, he says. But also, we don't have a budget for growth. He said this, but they haven't even spent the money that they do get from Treasury. About 4 billion rand that Treasury allocated was not even spent. So what are you talking about, Becky? You don't know how to run the police.
What do you mean, Doug?
Yeah, why don't you just open up and admit that you can't run the police and we should find someone competent who can?
And before people jump to the easy answer, it's not because it's dangerous to be a policeman in South Africa. The French Foreign Legion, all right, I know somebody who works on the admin side there, is turning people away every year. So it's got nothing to do with it's dangerous. Nobody wants to be part of a losing team. That's just how life works.
And no one wants to be managed.
People go to Investec.
And you don't want your boss to be an idiot, because if your boss is an idiot, it puts you in even greater danger. And that's the problem here.
100%.
We've got a complete moron in charge of the police in this country. Remember him telling us, you must be in bed by 9 o'clock. Remember?
Oh my gosh, that's the guy? That's the guy that you want to work for?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Nah.
Right.
You know what he looks like? Mm-hmm. What's the guy's name? Darlington Michaels. For those who don't remember, back in the day, used to play a character called Bra Georgie.
Darlington Michaels.
Do you remember Bra George from Isidine?
Bra George out of this. Bra George.
Oh my God. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I see. You know, it feels like Becky, you'd get there and Becky Chele would say, hey, Lychee. Yes, Mampara, yeah. You know what I mean? Man. Instead of like talking to you in some sort of corporate talk that a guy of his stature should. He feels like a cheap knockoff gangster.
I couldn't agree more. Like that is who he looks like, Darlington Michaels. Yeah, I remember him.
He's got that feel.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. God damn it. Just disconnected. Let's see if I can get back in here.
Like, what is going on here?
Yeah, definitely cheap knockoff. I remember, I don't know if you remember that video that surfaced of him in Cape Town when he was like walking the streets or whatever. And there were like a bunch of people in a restaurant having lunch and he walked past them and he just started dancing for them.
Like, oh my God.
What an idiot.
No.
Yeah, Biggie Tyler, at that point, I knew that this is not the guy. He just started like dancing and yeah. Like, you know, just
look
like
at that photo. Valentine, look at that. Mike. Doesn't it feel like that's put that? Yeah, that for those who aren't on the podcast, Papa G, they used to call him on Isiting. And this is what he was like. This guy's running our country.
He was like the gangster boss, right?
Yeah. The really dangerous guy.
No, I remembered immediately when, because I looked him up and like I was, oh yeah, I know that guy. That's why I had to get a picture for everybody who's watching. All right. This is why you need to join us on the YouTube channel and subscribe and like and blah, blah, blah. So please do that. I hate to have to remind you every day, but if I don't, then I get into trouble. And so I've got to do it. So just like and subscribe, et cetera, et cetera. And you can comment too. Papa G is what Gabelo says. Yeah, it's exactly the guy.
Oh, so, yeah.
Zamdela says, you know, his God.
Yes.
Georgie Zamdela.
Georgie Zamdela. Yo, that guy was like so scary. He had all these like gold rings on his fingers. Yes, and, like, yes. You know, when a person walks in the room and you're like, okay, I should leave. That was that guy. He was crazy.
Although on the weekend, you know, it's quite parochial, but there was a guy who was the PRO for Mamelodi Sundowns, which is now Africa's probably richest club.
Yes.
A guy called Alex Goldfingers Chakwane. I don't know if you ever remember this guy.
Alex Goldfingers.
Yeah. Goldfingers, yeah. The guy's hysterical. And this guy would come out. There was another guy called Patko Mafane, who was the Kaiser Chiefs PRO,
yeah.
And they would go at each other in public. But
I remember Patko.
Sundowns was run by a Romanian lady and him, this Goldfingers. And Goldfingers would come out with a bust down ring on every
Romanian
ring.
She was Greek, and her name was Natasha Chiklas. She was a powerhouse. So here, you want to see what Goldfingers looks like for those people who are wondering? These are because I used to be a massive Sundown supporter, so I actually remember.
Oh yes, I forget this, Gareth. That it's your people out there.
But that was back in the day. I mean, like, I can't say that anymore. Here's Goldfingers. This one.
Yeah, but you need one with his rings. Oh, he's wearing a suit.
You want to see the fingers.
Yeah, there was a different time where
gold fingers.
Yeah, no, it's a real thing. It's a big part of the culture. You know, till this day, you'd be surprised. It's still a very big thing in the hood. Like having those
gold
rings, doesn't matter how old you are. Like even if you're in your 20s, it's such a big cultural statement that you've got these rings on your fingers and you just, you know, you walk around looking good. Yeah. I was actually surprised. One of my friends who lives in Fos La Raz, actually, we spend a bit of time with him. So when he visits, he always takes his rings off. So I think after like 6 months of hanging out, I was like, dude, are these your rings? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I've never seen you wear these rings. But he's like, yeah, these are my rings. And then you put them on for me. Every single finger had this huge gold ring. It's such a big cultural statement. I love it. I'm here for it.
Awesome. It's like those guys who, you know, you still see these guys who wear those big gold and silver chains around their necks, but the thick ones.
Yeah.
You know the ones I mean? And they think, they think they look good. And there's sometimes a big cross hanging on it as well.
A Jesus piece. We call it a Jesus piece.
Jesus piece.
That's how I know a guy is from the east of Johannesburg or the south of Joburg. Always a chain.
Right.
Regardless, doesn't matter. If I see a chain, I say, you're not from around here, are you?
But Corona's because, you know, in this country, they'll steal that off of you, right? Corona's boring says, Tele is a pimp. Unfortunately, I think that makes us his bitches. That's about right. You know?
Said. Damn.
Goldfingers.
Alex Goldfingers Chakwa. Legend.
Oh, it's great. You know, we do have characters in this country, man. Yeah. I wonder. There was a funny joke. You know how hot it was in Cape Town over the weekend? So someone sent me this meme of like, it's so hot in Cape Town that the gangsters are shooting each other with water pistols.
I'll send a video to Simpiwe to share on social media with Goldfingers so people can see him in all his element.
Yeah, please.
I can't get enough of this guy.
I want to see more of Goldfingers. Now you've got me interested.
I'll send you a video now, Gareth. We'll see if we can get it up maybe an hour or two.
That'll be great. Anyway, listen, speaking of videos, you must also subscribe to the MKT show on YouTube, and they've got lots of cool stuff going on at the moment, especially with AFCON on TikTok. Tell us what's happening.
Tonight, you can join us on TikTok, the MKT show. It is Capo Verde tonight, trying to do their thing against. You know, African teams have the best nicknames, by the way, except us.
Tell us about those.
Like last night, it was the elephants against the scorpions, and tonight the lions of Taranga take on the blue sharks of Capo Verde, and then the boys.
So there was a big match they played last night, but the stadium name was hilarious. Where was it? Oh God!
It's in Cameroon. I don't know which one it was.
No man.
Maybe the second team. Yeah.
Let me just see.
The Indomitable Lions, and then we're boys. Bafana needs to rebrand, guys. We can't be boys forever, man. When are we going to graduate from high school? So, yeah, tonight the Lions of Taranga take on the Blue Sharks of Capo Verde. You can join us for the live watch along 5 o'clock. The MKT show.
Please, if anybody watched that game last night, I can't even remember who was playing. I think it was Cameroon and someone.
The Comores, who are a holiday resort, by the way.
Yes,
the Comores is a holiday resort. And Bafana didn't qualify, and a holiday resort did.
A holiday resort beat us. That is so embarrassing. They played at the, what was the stadium called? Oh, it drives me crazy when I can't remember the stuff, because I saw it in the news and I was like, what the hell? Look it up, Mbulalo. I know you'll know it.
Give me a second and I'll be on it for you.
Anyway, I mean, you know who my favorite person in Cameroon is, right? I've always, whenever I think of Cameroon now, all I think is of her. Paul Biya's wife. Her name is Chantal Biya.
The first lady. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Chantal Opening ceremony. Biya. Did you see her dress?
Have you seen her hair? Oh. She's amazing.
Yeah.
I can see we've lost Lebang on this, but Lebang, let me just show you this woman's hair and you'll see what we mean. She's the first lady of Cameroon, and she has been for like years. I mean, her husband's been in charge there for so long that the country basically belongs to them. So let me show you who this is. Lebang, look at this quickly. I want to show you the first lady of Cameroon. You're going to love this woman. She's easily one of the most interesting looking people in the whole world. All right, Chantal Biya. This is her. Let me find this picture. Hang on a second. There we go. Look at this.
Absolutely.
Look at the
electric
hair. Check this. Dun, dun. She's very, I mean, what a lot of hair, right?
Oh, girl.
Oh, girl. Yeah, exactly.
Wowza.
Look here. Look,
you should have seen her for the opening ceremony of AFCON, by the way.
What's the name of this hairstyle?
I don't know what you would call it. It looks like it comes from the 1980s. It's very impressive, though. Very impressive. Don't you think?
So I don't know if you know this, but...
Yeah, this upkeep must take hours.
For sure. Definitely.
It's wild. So I don't know if you know this, in West Africa, skin dyeing is a real thing, right?
Yes.
And so for the AFCON opening, she had this electric dress, just like, so that hairstyle popping, whatever she's doing there.
Right.
But then she had this electric dress, but then she had the, I don't know what you call it when ladies put this like cream on. But it's a skin dye there, you know, so and she had that on
is it like
for the cameras. It looks
like
ridiculous.
A skin lightening cream, right?
Yeah, massive in West Africa.
Right.
And she's just rocking it, yeah. She's just rocking it for the AFCON. There's the FIFA president next to her. I thought, lady, I want the kind of confidence you've got.
No, she's...
Because you are so happy.
Well, she's spending all of the country's money on her makeup and hair. I mean, there she is in the...
There it is.
In the limo. They're driving through the stadium. She's, yeah.
There it is.
Wow.
Can you see her face?
Just,
I don't know if you can see she's got
sort
this
of.
That's so sad, guys. Like...
Yeah. Shem. What's so sad? You were saying the bung?
I think cream has everyone in a chokehold. Yeah, sorry, I don't know if you guys are hearing me. Okay. I'm saying like the skin lightening cream has like Africa in a chokehold right now.
Mm.
Like it's not just in West Africa, even like in Mozambique where I, you know, like as I told you, my kid's gran lives on just along the border.
Mm.
You see a lot of the ladies coming back into South Africa, selling the skin lightening cream, and it's so bad for their skin. They start to turn orange. Because over again, it's literally got everyone in a chokehold. It's so sad. And you don't even look real anymore. Like your skin just, I don't know, it just looks like a doll. Just completely unrealistic. And it's just sad, man.
You look
it's
like, Thierry Mugler. So that's the female version of that. But yeah, it's really dangerous. I mean, some of these things are just basically, They contain like bleaches and hydrogen peroxide and really dangerous stuff that actually does huge damage to your skin. I mean, some of them are safer than others. Let's just say that so we don't get into trouble, because there are obviously products that have been, you know, made more safe, but they're not the ones that do the extreme tone change. You know, when someone has that massive change, you don't recognize them because suddenly they're like 8 tones lighter than when you last saw them. You just know that they're doing pretty dangerous stuff to their skin. And I'm sure that the long-term effects of that are terrible. It's really bad. And that hairstyle, says Mike, should be called the lion's mane. Yes, that's right. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
She looks like she belongs on Jersey Shore, says Achten York. Chantal Bia. Yeah, go and look her up. She's been around a long time. And she doesn't seem, whatever she's doing, it definitely involves that skin lightening. It also involves a lot of hair products, especially that hairspray that they used to use in the 80s. She's probably buying up 90% of the hairspray that was available in the 80s and still making it work in Cameroon. But she also looks like she hasn't aged terribly much. So there's something going on there. She's like the female. Yeah. She's like the female Donald Trump, actually, a little bit, if you think about it. You know, with that color, that color, and that very obviously fake hair that's been sprayed into a very strange pattern. Anyway, I mean, listen, takes every kind of people to make the world what it is. Let's get to the rest of the show. We got lots to do this morning. It is just after 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.